Welcome to Talking With Yourself, a podcast designed as a place to learn new things, talk about navigating the world, dealing with mental health, and just life in general. I'm your host, Sam Preston, and thank you so much for being here. Now, let's get into it. Hey everyone, and welcome back to a very special episode of Talking With Yourself, where I am joined by one of my lifelong best friends, Ava.
Hi!
So, Ava, we have been friends for what, like
16 years? Yeah. Almost 17, I think.
Since like first grade.
Yeah.
I think first grade for me.
First grade for you. Yeah. Yeah. I remember we met in like a crazy snowstorm, and you and your brother were like playing at the side of your house, and I was like, hey guys, can I come play with you? And then like we literally didn't talk, but then the next day we became like best friends, just yeah, like flick of a switch,
literally. And we have been like inseparable ever since.
Yes,
it's so funny, we've like been through it all. Oh
yeah.
My god,
yeah,
we went through high school together. That in itself is its own.
And elementary.
Yeah,
elementary, high school, literally everything.
And we're like pretty much neighbors, like,
yeah.
I mean, with the exception of school, we see each other every day.
Yes. When we were in summer camp, when we were a lot younger, we would tell our guidance counselors that we were sisters, and they actually believed us for quite a while.
Yeah. I don't know how we got away with that.
I don't know either.
We got in trouble for that.
We did. Somebody outed us.
Someone ratted on us.
Yeah.
And we got in trouble. So we've been through it all together, including what we're planning on talking about on this podcast episode today, and that is your journey with lupus.
Yes. So I was diagnosed with lupus last year. So that would be 2023, February. It was definitely hard hearing that news. I definitely knew something was wrong with my body. Prior to that year, I was having like really, really severe inflamed joint pain. And I just thought it was because I was lifting heavy in the gym. I'm a pretty small individual myself, so I was thinking maybe I'm just lifting too much. And my mom was like, hey, like, we have to go get blood work. We have to go get this tested. And I told her I was getting blood work done, but I have an insane, huge fear of needles. So I was like, yeah, mom, I got it done. They said it's fine. And one day I was in my room, and she's like, you haven't been eating lately. Like, what's going on? I was like, mom, I just feel so sick. Like, I literally can't stay awake for like more than an hour. I'll get like great night's sleep, but the next I'll like wake up, no energy, no appetite, joint pain from my skull to my toes, like literally in my brain. So she came with me to get blood work done because she found out that I was lying to her. Yeah, lying to her. And the results came back and they were like, you actually have systemic lupus, SLE, which is actually the most severe form of lupus. There's a couple different kinds.
I remember like when you were having really bad arthritis, like you were walking down my basement stairs struggling.
Yeah.
And I think that was at the point where you were like, everybody keeps saying it's just because I'm lifting heavy and I'm so fed up with it because it's not.
Yeah. And I definitely knew that there was much more to just lifting heavy. I just didn't want to know what it was. I was too scared. Even it got to points where I couldn't even click the buttons on my phone or like open up my toothpaste cap. Couldn't do any of that.
Yeah, it was bad.
Yeah.
I remember like coming because I was at school. So I was like an hour and something away when you were kind of going downhill. And I remember coming back to like a completely different person.
Yeah.
Been completely different from you are now too, obviously.
Yeah.
But yeah, I remember like when we like hang out a lot of the time, it's like, oh, like let's go down to the basement or like let's go and get McDonald's and then maybe we'll do this and we'll watch a movie and we can go on a walk. And, like, I think we hung out for, like, an hour and we just kind of sat on the couch, like, talking a little. And then you were like, I'm tired. Like,
yeah.
And I got a call with my doctor and it was like, yeah, complete 180 from what we're usually like.
Exactly. And I remember when after my diagnosis and when I was in and out of the hospital a lot and getting lots of treatments done, one of the first weeks that I was, like, out of the hospital and just recovering and resting at home, I remember Sam and I went out to breakfast that day. And we had to leave somewhat early. We had plans to do something afterwards, but I was like, Sam, like, I can't do this. And she literally had to hold my hand and help me walk up straight back to the car because I would have literally passed out if I were to walk back to the car by myself or fell over or something.
Yeah, it was a long process for
It
you.
was
It
for
was
sure.
definitely hard.
For sure.
What was the process like? Obviously, it was long and it wasn't easy. What were you doing? What were you going through? Your
Okay, yeah,
customer.
so it was definitely a super long process. I was super depressed during the time and even prior. And like I mentioned before, with my joints being so sore, like I was literally like 19, 20 years old, but I felt like I was in a 90-year-old woman's body. Like I was just so dependent on everybody to do literally anything for me. I couldn't do anything for myself. And I'm very thankful that my mom came with me and forced me to get the blood work that was needed done, or else who knows, like if I would have even got that done to this day.
Yeah, because
I
you're like deathly afraid of
am
needles.
deathly afraid of needles. Like I have to like lay down and I will just sweat and cry and get dizzy when I have to get needles. I'm so scared of needles. And another thing to quickly add is that I lost a lot of my hair. A lot of it was falling out. I don't necessarily know if it was due to all the medications that I was on or if it was just due to lupus, but I do know that most people who have lupus experience a lot of hair loss. Like I had like bald spots and stuff going on.
Yeah, your hair got like super thin. I
Yeah.
remember that.
Yeah, thankfully it's growing back now, but what I did do is I invested in a very expensive, like real human hair wig that looks just like my own hair. So that made me feel like comforted to know that I have that option if I want to have a full head of hair one day. And then once my hair grew back, I really just started getting into more wigs. So I just bought a whole bunch of like more cheap plastic colorful ones that I wear every now and then just for fun. And I do it with lots of makeup too. So I have lots of fun with my look on a day-to-day basis. But yeah, like I said, I was very depressed. I did have so much support from my family and my friends, which I'm very grateful for. And the recovery, not even recovery, I can't say recovery because lupus stays in your body forever. It's incurable and it's chronic. There are times where you are feeling better. Like today, I'm actually having a great day. And this entire week, actually, I've been feeling really well. So when you're not feeling great, it's called a flare up where, you may have headaches, you may have burning lungs, which is a symptom that I do get quite often. Arthritis pain, of course. The worst thing ever, like this is worse than the arthritis for me, is brain fog. Like when I have to go to work or when I have to go to school and I have brain fog. Brain fog is just the worst when I'm at school or at work because like I'm just so much slower than I usually am. And another thing going along the lines of school, I was studying at school, fitness, exercise science. I was studying exercise science and I had to withdraw from my program that I was almost done. I was in my very last semester of that program. I had to withdraw and take care of my health because that was during my diagnosis. So it was really unfortunate to see all of my classmates graduate and I had to redo it next year and graduate with a whole different class that I didn't even get the chance to know.
Yeah, that's definitely hard because it's like you worked so long, and obviously, like your health is the most important, but
Yeah.
that doesn't make it any less like crappy to have to like graduate with strangers, essentially.
Yeah.
With the brain fog, for people who don't know, how would you even describe it? Like,
It literally feels like there is a big cloud in your brain. Like you definitely can't think clearly, or it's honestly, this is the best description I can give for it. It's like if you were hungover, like severely hungover and drunk for however long the brain fog lasts, but without like the fun of being drunk. Like you don't feel funny, you don't feel happy or like
it's like when you're
whatever.
like miserable
Yeah,
drunk.
you're just like a miserable drunk and you just can't, nothing's clear to you.
Yeah, there's been like a few times I know we're out and it just like hits you. Like, it's not like you necessarily wake up in the morning,
Yeah.
like, and you're like, oh yeah, brain fog today. Like,
Yeah.
there's been times we've been out and it's hit you in the middle of the day and it's like, oh, like, Sam, can you drive home? Like, I can't even like and we just hop in the car and like I drive instead.
Yeah.
So it's not like something that necessarily are all the symptoms like that, where it's not necessarily something you wake up with. Like it can hit you at any point
Yep,
in the
it can
day.
hit you at any point in the day. I often do find though that they more so come at nighttime, especially with my arthritis. I think it's just because like if I've been on my feet all day or like have gone through my day with doing whatever, it mostly comes on then. And going back to like after my diagnosis, all the medications that I'm on made my like, and I'm still to this day on the same medications, just some lower doses for some of them. But my hands are constantly shaky, and I don't know, it's just something to add. I'm sure that a lot of people know what lupus is, or not necessarily know what it is, but have heard about lupus through Selena Gomez. There's been videos of her on TikTok with her like shaky hands, and she actually has those shaky hands because she's on prednisone, which I'm also on. Most lupus patients are. And it makes it just it's a steroid. It's a pretty heavy steroid, and it makes your hands very shaky. So I also have the shaky hand symptoms. And I also wanted to add that 90% of people with lupus are women, and two of three times it's more lupus is more prevalent in African American women and or Hispanic or Latino women. Just to point that out, fun fact.
Yeah, fun little statistic.
Yeah.
I did a quick little Google just when you brought up Selena Gomez because I was
Yeah.
actually curious like how many
Yeah.
celebrities like we know have
Yes.
lupus.
Lady
So
Gaga.
yeah, I was gonna say this is just off the internet. Don't take our word for it. But yeah, Lady Gaga.
Tori Braxton.
Like,
There's
I'm sorry, it
lots.
just has Backstreet Boys
Backstreet
listed here, and I
Boys. Somebody from the Backstreet Boys.
apparently. But yeah, I feel like Selena Gomez has been like the biggest
The
one.
for sure. She's definitely like, I was gonna say an ambassador, but you know what I
I
mean.
know
You
what
know
you
what I
mean.
mean.
Yeah. I think like what I was mentioning, like after you had gotten sick, and like just gotten your diagnosis, I mentioned to somebody at school, I was like, oh yeah, like Ava figured out like she had lupus. And somebody went, is that the thing Selena Gomez has? And I was like, oh, okay. So like people do know about
Yeah, and
this.
that's exactly it because at work one time, I was like, guys, like I have to sit down, like my lupus is acting up. And my one coworker was like, "You have lupus?" And I was like, "Yeah." She goes, "Oh, actually, I just learned about that literally last night because I saw a TikTok about Selena Gomez talking about her lupus." So it's good that it's out there and people are
Yeah.
creating awareness.
It's sad that people have to deal with it, but
Yeah.
it's like good it's out there.
Yeah.
So you said you have systemic lupus.
Yes.
There's different kinds, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
I like know a little bit about them, but I don't know a ton. I just know there's, I think, four in total.
Yeah, so there is discoid lupus or DLE. The main cause of that lupus is it affects your skin. So lots of rashing, itchy, hot, burning skin. And it's very similar to my lupus with some of the symptoms. It's a little less severe, although people have it differently. Maybe somebody with discoid lupus could have it worse than me. But yeah, and then the big thing with discoid lupus is sun sensitivity, which I forgot to talk about earlier, but I have that too. That's one of my biggest things, and that creates brain fog as well. Other than the fact that I'm just pale and white as a ghost, I
She's
shouldn't
really
be,
pale.
yes, I should not be in the sun just because it gives, one, it gives me brain fog. Two, it can bring on a flare up so quickly if I'm in the sun for, oh my God, like 10 minutes. Like it's so bad.
Yeah.
Another one is drug-induced lupus, and that one's triggered by certain drugs, and it stops when a person stops taking the drugs. And I'm actually not too sure. I don't know. I haven't heard much about this one. So if you want to do some research on that one, there you go.
Yeah. We should probably mention we are not professionals. We
No,
are
not at all.
just like 20 something year old girls,
Not at all.
one with lived experience and one who watched her go through it.
Yes.
So, do your own research, please.
And then there's neonatal lupus, which is uncommon, but it affects newborn babies. That one's somewhat similar to discoid, where it affects the skin, lots of skin rashes, hot, itchy rashes on the skin, but it actually goes away after 6 months after birth. 6 months after birth, it usually goes away. And then there's my lupus, SLE, systemic lupus. It's chronic, just as the other three are. It's incurable. It's treatable. Like you can treat some symptoms, but it's incurable. And this is the, I think I mentioned this before, but SLE is the most severe form of lupus.
Is it usually the most common?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay.
Discoid and SLE are definitely the most common lupuses.
Lupuses? Lupusi? Stay
Lupusi.
tuned next episode where we discuss the plural of lupus.
Plural version of lupus, yes.
Do you know if it has anything to do with genetics?
Yeah, it definitely is genetic based for sure. Actually, when I was getting my diagnosis, the doctors were always asking my mom and I, do you know if your family has a history of lupus? And we were like, nope, no history of lupus here. A lot of people, not that I'm saying that I have childhood trauma because I don't, my family was amazing to me throughout all my childhood, but a lot of people and reports and research shows that lupus and any other type of autoimmune disease for that matter are actually stem from childhood trauma.
Really?
Yeah, it's interesting. Especially lupus was like a really big one on there, stems from
Wow.
childhood trauma.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was interesting to read about.
So is it like it's not necessarily, I don't even know how to word this. I don't want to say genetic, but like, is there a chance that your mom or your grandma or anybody didn't have the gene and somehow you still developed it?
That could be possible. Like, again, I really don't have a clue. I think that it was in my body well before I was even feeling those arthritis symptoms, like a year prior to my diagnosis, because I also had the butterfly rash on my face for years before that, even when I was maybe, I think I was maybe like 15, 14 when I first noticed it. And if you don't know what the butterfly rash is, it's so common. I think like pretty much every person with lupus would have this butterfly rash during a flare up. You just get red on like the top of your cheek and it goes above your nose and then to the other side of your cheek. If you want to look it up, you can see a photo of it. It usually gets pretty hot and itchy as well.
So you were like experiencing symptoms well before you got diagnosed.
Yes, and that's why I believe that it was in my body even before the year before my diagnosis.
Right. So I know, like you mentioned, with drug-induced lupus, like lupus can be brought on when someone starts taking a drug, and obviously it stops when they stop taking the drug. But for systemic or discoid, like, is there any one event or anything like that that's known to trigger it?
Yes, definitely. Sun is probably the number one. And even with lights, like specific fluorescent light bulbs, especially when I'm in class, I notice it the most, really triggers brain fog. And even I've never noticed that it like triggers arthritis or anything like that, but the brain fog comes on so quick when I'm in certain
Right.
lights. Another thing that triggers my arthritis is stress of any kind.
What about just like the lupus in of itself? Just something triggering the very start of that struggle with it? Like, is there anything that triggers that?
I'm not too sure of that one. All I know is just to be, if you feel that you have any sort of something going on with your physical health, that you need to look into that, go to the doctors, get your blood work done. But to answer that question, I'm not too sure. All I knew was just that I was feeling joint pain and I had to go get that checked out. That's about it for me, at least.
If you're like okay talking about it, do you think there was anything specifically that triggered yours? Like, do you think taking some form of medication or something like triggered that initial onset?
I don't think so. I could not even take a wild guess at what could have brought my lupus, like what you know
Yeah.
what I mean?
I know what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah,
Like,
like
what could
what
have
brought
caused
that
it?
on? What could have caused my lupus? I have no clue in this world.
Like, that's actually just scary that it can just kind of come out of nowhere.
Yeah.
You've talked quite a bit about arthritis and just like your struggles with that. So, you said, first of all, like you experienced arthritis like way before you actually got your diagnosis and things like that. And you mentioned like you were doing heavy lifting, like you were a very active
Yeah,
person
I used to
beforehand.
be, yeah.
How has that changed? Kind of how have you had to adapt to that since your diagnosis?
I was excited for this question because I am huge on fitness and physical activity. It's my goal one day, once I'm done school, to be an exercise therapist and help people who are like me with sore joints or physical disabilities. So can't wait for that. But to answer your question, I was always in the gym like almost 24/7 before my diagnosis, lifting heavy weights. I thought that that was just like the best thing ever, lifting heavy. Turns out it's not. Even if you don't have a lupus diagnosis, there's so many other things that you can do that are much better for yourself. Anyways, actually quite recently, I decided to cancel my gym membership and I ended up getting a membership at a yoga studio. So I'm now doing yoga and different forms of stretching, which really, really help my pain, just even just my mental state and my well-being. And I found that I have had so many less flare-ups and triggers since I've been starting yoga. And I've also been doing like, so if I want to do like a strength-based workout, I now do aerial hoops as well. So that's like so much strength work there with just lifting yourself up on the hoop, getting yourself to spin, turning upside down. And it's all body weight exercise too. So I'm not really lifting anything that's too heavy for me.
Yeah, I was honestly going to say that I think you're arguably stronger now than you were back when you were doing like deadlifts and like powerlifting and all of this stuff. Because like I've seen some of the videos of you doing like your aerial stuff, and it's like, guys, I'm sorry for this language, but it's fucking impressive.
Thank
Like
you.
there is so much like strength that goes into that. It's actually insane.
It's very fun. It's a very fun pastime, and it's good for you.
How do you kind of adapt on those days that you have those flare-ups? How do you handle those? If you're like, oh, today I'm gonna go do some yoga and I'm gonna go do this and this, and you kind of, halfway through the day or you wake up or something and you're like, I'm not feeling the best.
Yeah, though that happens often. Like I was mentioning earlier about like what triggers flare-ups, I forgot to mention what you eat. So I always try my best, although I have the biggest sweet tooth and who doesn't love a McDonald's burger,
Oh, yeah.
but I do try my best to eat as healthy as I can with lots of fruits. Also, if you have an autoimmune disease, don't eat peppers.
Oh,
They're
really?
really bad for you and can trigger flare-ups
Oh.
very easily. Anyways, what was the question?
How do you deal with the
Oh, right. Yeah. So my mom is definitely the biggest like motivator and supporter in my life for sure. Like they're like literally, I think it happened 2 days ago and I was like, oh my God, like I just can't get up. I'm too sore. I'm too sore. I don't want to go. I don't want to do anything. I just want to lay in bed all day. She's like, well, you already have a yoga class booked for the day. She's like, why don't you just go in, do what you can, let your instructor know that you're not feeling your greatest and just do what you can. You always feel better after yoga. So I was like, you know what? Like, I guess so. Like, I'll do that. Do what I can. I come back for my day. I'll just have a shower and just lay down the rest of the day. Turns out my mom is right, as always. I went to my yoga class. I felt instantly better, and it actually very much decreased the pain that I was having that day. I took a bath after I got back, and I was able to go on with my day and run some errands that I've been meaning to do. So,
Wow.
yeah, which I was not planning on doing when I first woke up. Because when I first woke up, I just didn't want to get up at all.
Yeah, that's so nice. I feel like it's so important. I think I preached this a little in my first episode. Maybe I'm not remembering correctly, but like having a support system is like the best feeling ever. And sometimes it's just that little push you need. Because, like, yeah, there are some times you just want to lay in bed and like you do just kind of need to like throw the covers over your head and just like rot and just be dead to the world. But then I feel like there's those days where you feel like that, but when you're pushed to get up and do something, you're actually like, okay, like it's not as bad as I thought it would be. Like maybe I did just need that push.
You really just need somebody to be there to support and motivate you for sure.
And I know like your mom was super, I mean, part of it was like you were sick and couldn't do it all on your own, but I know your mom was a super big part of you getting diagnosed and like talking with doctors and figuring things out. I remember like when I was at your house, I think it was that same hangout I mentioned earlier when we were talking, but like you had a call with the doctor and you just kind of like sat there and your mom was your like biggest advocate of like
Yeah.
asking so many questions to the doctor of like, okay, so what does this mean? And he'd
Yeah.
give like a result to something. She'd go, okay, so what's the next step? What's this mean? What's this mean? And she was a really big advocate.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And like even like my mom, like going back to my mom and like what she's done for me and is still doing for me, even at times like back when I was really sick, she took like 2 months off of work and she would spend time with me. She would hold my arm and we would go on walks around the block. That was my
Aww.
exercise, was going on walks around the block. That's all I could do. And even at that point, the fact that I went from somebody who could work out for 2 hours straight and still be down to do more to somebody who could walk around the block only and get winded at a half point and need my mom to help me stand up, that was really, really hard on me. And I'm sure it was hard on her too, but I'm very thankful that she was there to support me through that. And I got through that and I'm doing a lot better now and I'm doing a lot more physically and actively, more activity now.
Yeah, and it's definitely something to be proud of to have
Yeah.
that progress from where you were then to where you are now.
Exactly. Yeah.
And like, not every day is going to be perfect. You mentioned like flare-ups can come and go as
Yeah.
they wish,
Yeah.
but you kind of work with what you can and like everything like that. Are there any days you've had where it like almost feels like you've been thrown right back to that moment when you first got sick, when you were like really sick?
I want to say both yes and no, because since like last year in the summertime, after my diagnosis was like, I knew what it was. I understood what my body was doing to itself, which was attacking itself, by the way. I don't think we touched base
I was
on
gonna say,
that.
did we ever talk about what
No,
lupus actually is?
like
Oh
what
no.
it
Sure, maybe we should touch on that a
is.
little after
Okay.
that. So, kind of realized we got this far in and never actually talked about what lupus is.
What it is. So I know we briefly touched base on the four types of lupus and described kind of what symptoms come along with each one, but I never actually explained what SLE, systemic lupus, is. Again, that's the one that I have. So it's when your immune system mistakes your healthy tissues and organs for something unhealthy or like some sort of invader in your body. It will actually go to your kidneys, heart, lungs, skin, brain, whatever, and attack those rather than focusing on attacking actual illnesses or some foreign invader that's in your body. So a lot of the times when I get sick, it takes a lot longer for me to recover. Even if it's just a common little cold, it takes a long time for me.
Is it kind of the same with like the other forms of lupus we talked about, where it's essentially like your immune system just attacking your body?
Yes. And again, with the discoid lupus, it mostly attacks your skin, but it still attacks the other things as well, unfortunately.
Lupus, essentially in a nutshell, is your immune system attacking your body.
Yes, in a nutshell, yeah.
There you have it, guys. So, like, what, 30 minutes into this episode or whatever, we
We
finally.
finally found out what lupus is.
Congrats. Good on us. What do you think are some things, unless, I mean, you might have touched on them already, but what do you think are some things that a lot of people don't know about lupus, like myths versus facts type of thing?
Something that a lot of people often overlook is that somebody with lupus is just fine. And that's because that lupus is an invisible illness. Like you would never be able to tell if you were looking at me right now, you'd think that I'm a perfectly healthy person and that nothing's going on with me, which obviously isn't the case. A lot of the times, like when you go about your day and you have like a headache, you don't want to be annoying everybody by being like, "Oh, I have a headache. It's so sore." Well, that's what a lot of lupus people do, but most people have that almost every day, but they have more than just a headache. It's joint pain. It's not being able to push the buttons on their phone like I was talking about earlier. It's a rash. It's light sensitivity or brain fog. There's just so many things that could be going on in somebody who has lupus or anybody for that matter. And that's why you can't judge somebody. You can't judge them and you can't just assume that they're perfectly fine and healthy.
I'd also like to kind of flip that around and go a little bit, not contradictory, but like opposite of that, and saying, like, you are not like this like fragile little human either. Like you are not like,
no.
I touch her and all her bones are gonna shatter.
Exactly, yeah.
So it's yeah, I think I would agree with you in like, you know, you can't look at somebody and know exactly what's going on.
Yeah.
But also like that doesn't mean you're like a very breakable piece of glass. Like you're very strong willed. You essentially don't need to be coddled in a way.
Yeah.
You don't have to be like having somebody fuss over you every 2 seconds. Like if the lights are too bright, she's gonna die. So like I have to dim every light that of the room that she walks into. Essentially to say like you aren't this like breakable little fragile little thing.
Yeah.
Like you guys are still strong, you are still normal human beings.
Yeah, for
sure.
You
just like unfortunately have a disease that you have to deal with.
Yeah. And I'm glad that you made that point because I feel like I was more so focusing on the negatives, whereas there's definitely, you know, not, I don't want to say positives, but you guys get what I'm saying, I hope.
Yeah. Like you, like, I feel like you've had some days where like, if I didn't even know you, I'd be like, like spending the whole day with you, I'd be like, she is like absolutely healthy. Like you're stronger than me. I'm not going to lie. I could never do aerial shit like you do. That's insane. But yeah, like you can still have like a happy, normal life. It sucks that you still have to deal with it, but at least you're not 24/7 bedridden and things like that.
I know how to deal with it.
Yeah, that's the thing is you've learned and you've educated yourself and you know what makes it better and you know what makes it worse and things like that.
Yes.
Do you have kind of any, just as we're nearing the end of our episode, any advice you want to give to people out there who are either have been diagnosed or maybe currently going through the diagnostic process or think they might have lupus or anything like that?
Yeah, for sure. I don't want to say stay calm and everything's going to be okay because that's not really the case. I mean, everything will be okay in the end once you've figure out your diagnosis. But things happen, shit happens in life, and you really have to get through it. Please confide in people that you love and you trust and you know that will be there for you. Like I said so many times in here, for me, my biggest one is my mom. Of course, Sam and my other friends and the rest of my family too have been massive, massive, massive support for me, and I'm so thankful for that. Whenever it is that you do get your diagnosis or whatever, do lots of research. Understand what's going on with your body or your mental health if that's your diagnosis. And just do research on what you can do for yourself and take care of yourself. And always, always take it from me. Take it from me. I learned the hard way. You need to listen to your body. Even if you're super scared of needles or whatever, you have to go get that blood work done.
My one piece of advice was going to be don't skip
blood work needles.
And also, you guys can't see her, but despite this girl being terrified of needles, she is covered in tattoos.
Yes, yep, yes. I have,
it's so
I think,
funny.
14 or 15 tattoos and a couple piercings too.
But she will still, as a grown woman, cry at the sight of a needle.
Yes, I will.
What about advice for people who have like loved ones with lupus?
The biggest thing I could say is just support and especially educate yourself on what they're going through. Because anytime I can talk to somebody who understands what lupus is, understands the symptoms and what I deal with on a daily basis, I appreciate that like more than anything. It just makes me feel understood and comforted.
I love that.
Yeah, thank you.
I will keep that in mind and I will continue to educate myself. So I would hope people know by now that I like to end the episodes with a little affirmation or just a nice little message to go out to my listeners. And I started this with my last episode, with my first guest, where I would love for the guests I have on to give that affirmation. So if you have one for the listeners, I'd love to hear it.
My biggest thing in life, my favorite quote ever, is when you do not seek or need approval, you are at your most powerful. So I just want to say that be yourself. And if somebody doesn't like that, then fuck them. That's on period. And just be yourself and be yourself confidently and love yourself, period. Yeah.
I love that quote because you've said that before and I've gone like, that's absolutely true. Like the moment you stop valuing other people's opinions over your own, like, mm-hmm. You are glowing, like you are thriving, you are doing your best.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
So thank you for joining me on this
Thank
episode.
you.
I'm so glad we got to sit down and talk about this, and I hope that whoever's listening learned quite a bit
Yes,
and will actually
yes.
go maybe do a bit of their own research. If you or someone you know is struggling, I'm very sorry. And I think Ava is proof that it doesn't stop you.
No, definitely does not stop you.
No.
And I've learned a lot from it too, and
Yep.
become stronger.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It was one of those things that unfortunately had to happen, but you're so much better because of it.
Yes, for sure.
So we will say goodbye now.
Yes, thank
And
you.
yeah, thank you for joining us. And I'll talk to you all next week.
Bye.
Bye.